2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dujanovic. Dave and Dujanovic.
All right, I came across a Washington Post article. It says men's health is declining and creating a gap between men and women, meaning men are dying. We're dying, and we're dying earlier than women. What could be the reason? Filling in for Debbie Dujanovic today is Leah Murray. I'm from KSL at Night in the Walker Institute of Politics.
Correct. And public service, yeah.
Oh, it's the longest title ever. I'll never get it right. Forgive me.
Just Gandalf words.
Gandalf. Gandalf yeah. Of the poli-sci department. You'll always be that Gandalf to me now.
Yeah.
men's health is declining.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, too, like the statistics in this article, right? So it's 6-year difference. So I always thought women always lived longer. Like, I just thought that was the thing. But it's the largest gap in 25 years. So when we talk about declining, there actually is a change in that distance. More men dying of diabetes, more men at greater risk from COVID, dying from COVID. Cancer mortality is higher. Suicide, dying by suicide, 4 times more often. Motor vehicle crash death victims, right? 72% of them are men. So a little bit, I read this and I worry about my teenage son, right? And I think I need to tell him some things that I might not have to tell my teenage daughter. But Dave, I feel like maybe there's some other things in this, not just how boys are boys.
Yeah. Dr. Richard Ferguson joins us right now, Chief Medical Officer, Health Choice Utah, and founder of Black Physicians of Utah. Dr. Ferguson, what do you make of this? Is it true? I mean, are we
crazy?
Are we just
teens, young men? So that's why you'll see often more irrational decision, poor lifestyle choices, riskier behavior than young girls that are factors in leading to car accidents, drug overdose. But also there's the cultural norm factor, which I think is overarching of everything. And this is not only just unique to it's not specific to the U.S., but globally, men are told only go to the doctor when you're hurt or if there's a problem with your sexual health. Women, especially young girls, once they're over 18, they're encouraged, you need to now establish care with a gynecologist because her mother told that. And so you have women bestowing this wisdom onto young girls, but not often to young boys or men. And so that is problematic from the get-go, that we're already not setting our boys at an advantage or even at the same baseline level of advice.
Right. And Dr. Ferguson, I think it's so important because I legitimately read those stats and thought boys are crazy, right? Like it's about what you said. It's the decision-making and the risk-taking. And, you know, girls are just, I don't know, smarter or like less crazy.
I wouldn't say smarter.
Right. No, but your point's so well taken because it's about cultural norms, but also rewriting what we think. Does that make sense? So if I'm going to go to the doctor every year, I've got like a regularly scheduled, that's going to happen. And I'm like nagging my husband to go to his annual. We need to do some work to relearn. It's not about choices, right? There's some other things going on.
Well, that's a good point that you actually mentioned marriage. So married men live longer on 2 years on average than unmarried counterparts. Why is that? Well, they have the influence of their significant other, their spouse. Yeah. Often a woman, but just their significant other that cares about their health. So they're influencing for healthier habits. And I think one thing that there's things that we do in our city or within our state, we prioritize women and children, the health of women and children early on. You know, as I was walking up here, I saw an unhoused man in front of the KSL studio here. I'm less likely to see an unhoused woman with a child there. The city, the states across our nation will say, no, that is not acceptable. That is not an acceptable norm. But we were often not prioritize men's mental health and their cardiac health. Thus, we often are dying sooner. It's 7 years earlier on life expectancy, or 7 years less.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, another part of that article that stood out to me is they said initially the thought was that women were overusing the healthcare system and that men were using it the appropriate amount. But now that we have a little bit more understanding, it was the women that had it right all along.
Well, it was women going to seek care that was associated with hysteria or anxiety, or, you know, maybe implying that, oh, they're being a hypochondriac. No, it leads to them living longer. It leads to better access or seeking preventative care. You don't wait till something's broken to fix it.
And a lot of this stuff, and help walk me through this, Dr. Ferguson. If I were to use the healthcare system the way it's intended, with annual checkups or actually, you know, following the recommendations of my doctor, how does that improve my overall outlook long term?
If you go in more, you're more likely to be offered services, testing, screening that are commonly offered to women more frequently. And the key is just the man following on the advice.
For example?
I think the biggest thing would be when someone's coming in for their ankle sprain. When I worked in urgent care here for Intermountain, one of the first things I would do, because I know it's a man and he's probably not getting his blood pressure checked, this is my one opportunity. So I'll look at probably, all right, blood pressure's a little high. Let me see if you had any other visits. Oh, let me do a little bit and dig into your family history. Okay, you're over 45. What's your diet? I'm just here for an ankle sprain. Yeah, but this may be the one time this year I may capture you and provide a little preventative care. So docs, we as healthcare providers need to take advantage of every opportunity when a man comes in to offer and encourage preventative care.
No, but I love what you're just saying, right? Like, but like at the macro level, right, Dr. Ferguson, like healthcare is so expensive. It is so expensive. It's the biggest chunk of the pie of the federal budget is healthcare. And what we need to do is be doing preventative healthcare, because everything gets everything gets less expensive if you would just go in, not for your ankle sprain, yeah. but like get yeah. those checks early, because then we're preventing the catastrophic health claims later, right?
So yeah. You don't want to pay for a bypass.
Correct. So the answer is we need to reframe all of this, not about being weak, right? So women are weak, so they go all the time or they're getting the right mm-hmm. messages. But all of it's about let's be cost effective, right? You know, and you are going to go get preventative care. And in the long run, that's the right answer.
Let's make it acceptable.
Right.
And encourage our young boys and young men that it's good to go to the doctor. It's not a sign that you are failing at something.
This is part of why I love bringing you on. You help me see things differently, and I wouldn't have thought that the social aspect of it would have played as important a role. And when you describe that, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've gone into the doctor with that sprained ankle, and I'm piecing it all together now. All of a sudden, my doctor was like, oh, let's take a little blood sample. Like, yeah. Sprained ankle. You're right, because that's the only time you're going to find out that that my cholesterol is high. Mm-hmm. And that is a really, really interesting way to look at it. Thank you, Dr. Ferguson, for joining us. Dr. Ferguson, we tap into his expertise as the chief medical officer with Health Choice Utah and the founder of Black Physicians of Utah. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, are you hesitant? I want to take phone calls on this, Dr. Ferguson, because I want to know from – do you have a second?
Oh,
maybe I'll stick your
yeah.
You'll stick around for one more second. I love doing that, like live on the radio. Hey, will you stick around? Yeah. No, I'm out. Put you in a terrible spot. But I want to hear from our listeners right now. 801-575-TALK. Why do you put off going to the doctor? Is it embarrassment? As you talked about sexual health issues, you know, that's never a fun thing to go in and talk. Is it embarrassment? Is it pressure? Is it financial? What are some of the reasons you have decided to stop going to the doctor or put off going to the doctor? 801-575-TALK. We'll keep Dr. Ferguson around here. We'll pick his brain and see what he thinks. 801-575-TALK.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
David Duchovny. This is a life and death conversation where I'm literally talking about life and death. Women live to be 79.1 years old. Guys, 73.2. We are dying at a rate that is concerning. It's a six-year difference, the largest gap in a quarter century, according to an article from the Washington Post. And I wanted to find out why. Why are we dying at a higher rate? And we asked Dr. Richard Ferguson to join us, chief medical officer with Health Choice Utah and the founder of Black Physicians of Utah. Dr. Ferguson, we're going to take some phone calls. And again, joining me in this conversation is Leah Murray from KSL at Night. And Leah, we have a couple different experiences going through. You were talking about your husband.
Yeah.
We have to
harass him.
Harass him.
And he'll say, oh, it's fine. Even when he's hurting, Dr. Ferguson, he'll say, oh, it's not that bad. And I say, yeah, I know we're approaching 50. Maybe we should be making some
better choices. I throw my back out all the time.
Right. Right. My shoulder hurts. Yeah.
So, again, summarize a little bit why men and women, before we jump out to the phone calls, and again, we would love your phone calls. We have a couple of people on the line right now. 801-575-TALK. Why are you hesitant to go to the doctor? Speaking to a doctor, why are people hesitant to visit you?
Well, particularly men. One, I think the overarching is many folks don't want to come see us because they think that we are sometimes arbiters of bad news. People don't like to sometimes be told that they're doing something wrong or they need to change their behavior. So many times in non-acute, they're sometimes looking forward to come see us. But in acute settings, because I often work in an emergency room, that's the last place people want to be. So there's that factor. But particularly when it comes to men, it's masculinity that being vulnerable, because you often have to go to a doctor and reveal something personal. That is not seen as being an acceptable norm, not only our nation, but throughout the world. And I also feel that changing that gender norm is probably the biggest factor. And also our roles. I was bringing up with the producer earlier, we as men, or you often many jobs that you won't see women in as often, firefighter, high risk, you know, burn to death, fall off of something, electrician. I've never actually met a female electrician that can go along with plumber, people that are often working construction, slowly changing. Mm. But these are high-risk jobs. Soldiers, I mean, it wasn't until not long ago that women in the U.S. military were allowed to be part of the special forces. We can see with the Ukraine-Russian war, the conscripts from Russia that are like, all right, you're young. I don't know if some people saw earlier on how young appearing these young boys were, looking almost like 16, 17.
Right.
Yeah, that's a factor. So it's like, all right, you're a man, you're supposedly stronger, and you're all right, you go out there, you take that bullet.
Yeah, and it has led to this culture of we just don't show up, we'll tough it out or whatever, mm-hmm. or we're too embarrassed to tell the doctor. It's too embarrassing even for the doctor to hear. Scott in Salt Lake City. Scott, what do you think? Why do you think?
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing great. What do you think?
I just wanted to say I'm a 55-year-old man, and I hadn't been to the doctor in forever. I felt fine, but I finally went and found I had slightly high blood pressure and cholesterol, And because I went, I was able to change my diet and my exercise routine and brought them both down so I don't need any medications.
55 years old.
Probably one of the best decisions you made that year.
I love it. It's hard, but I think that's, at least in my experience, when I was younger, you know, in my 20s and 30s, I felt invincible. And I abused my body in so many ways, not just with diet, which I certainly did, but I was a whitewater rafting guide for a lot of years. And when we were doing cliff jumping, you know who the first kid was off the off the cliff? Yeah, it was me and the other guys. And every once in a while, you'd have a good decision maker, like a woman, say, no, this is terrible.
This is a bad idea.
This is a bad idea. The water, there's rocks below you, you dummy. And we wonder why we die 6 years earlier on average. Lynn in Ogden. Lynn, what do you think?
Okay, there's two reasons I don't go to doctors. One is that traditional doctors rarely use integrative medicine. It's only a last resort, and I'm into natural medicine. The second reason I don't go is that during COVID, I didn't go because I wasn't vaccinated, and they made such a big deal about it that even though I broke my wrist and I'm on Medicare and it would have been paid, and I did a couple of other things, I refused to go there.
Thanks for the phone call, Lynn.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But I agree with her first point there, integrative medicine. That is something that we are actually doing more to change. It's being introduced more into medical school curriculum throughout the nation because our patients are asking for it. So it's slow to change. Much of our medicine, our methodologies, our procedures are all often allopathic based, which means we want to do something to you. We want to treat you with surgery. We want to treat you with the pill. And there is a space for an integrative approach. Now, COVID was very serious. It was taking often 1,000 to 2,000 lives a day. And that's unfortunate that you felt you couldn't go in to get your wrist seen. I took care of several wrist fractures. The patient just had to wear a mask. I would not refuse anyone because they weren't vaccinated. I still won't to this day.
I'm wondering too about what she asked, because I thought it pointed to me. Maybe some people don't come in because they won't feel welcomed. Right. So she was talking very specifically there, but maybe it's, you know, if I go, the language isn't going to make sense to me, or the nurse at the front desk or whatever is mean, or you might wonder a little bit if it's that kind of thing as well.
We are often seen as an authority role, and people don't want to be judged. And we need to do better as in the healthcare system, as healthcare providers, as doctors, to with our language to appear less judgmental.
You've talked about this in regards to race. And as a member or founder of Black Physicians of Utah, you said that oftentimes when you're treating black men, because you're black, you're able to connect, or at least on a cultural level, they feel more heard or understood. And that's a hurdle, even though your qualifications, you know, are your qualifications, but the fact that it was a cultural connection, that makes a difference.
Yeah, cultural nuances, understanding that. I mean, it came out in JAMA, an open article, I want to say earlier last month, stating, like, what, it shouldn't be a big light bulb effect. We in the black community or black health professionals have known this for a while, that black healthcare outcomes for black patients improve when receiving care from black doctors. And it's more likely a trust factor, less likely to feel as though they'll be judged, and they feel more likely that their complaint is heard.
Right.
And when we were looking at this Washington Post article again that showed that the U.S. life expectancy is 79 years old for women, 73 years old for men.
Seven.
I mean, that's a chunk.
And lower for black men. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that which particular demographic or group is most impacted by cancer. It's black men.
Right.
That wowed some people. Third leading cause of death. It's not suicide. It's not gun violence for black men. It's colorectal cancer.
Right.
Preventative.
Wow. Dr. Ferguson, thank you for sticking around and taking those phone calls with us. Chief Medical Officer with Health Choice Utah and founder of Black Physicians of Utah. Such great information. Thank you.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.